my ship is better. And the anchor holds, though my sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea. The anchor holds, in spite of the storm.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that we can gather again tonight, Lord. Father, come away from the world and just have an atmosphere here, Lord, where you feel welcome, Lord Jesus, and where you can come and just comfort your bride. Lord, we ask you to come do this tonight, Lord. However you would choose to do it, whatever the word is that you want to tell us, Lord. Help each one just for a few minutes just to get away from our own thoughts and our own self and our own problems and just listen for your voice and let you fix our issues. Let you fix our problems. Let you tell us what you think about this situation and then give us the faith to walk on, Lord Jesus. I just pray you'd bless this little service tonight, Lord. In your name I ask this. Amen. Amen. If you want to read it from the Bible, we're going to turn to Song of Solomon. Read a few verses there. A couple weeks ago, I spoke a little bit on the subject. I'm just going to pick up where I left off there. Talk about this one who's seeking her beloved, the one whom my soul loveth. In Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, and my locks with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh, my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved. My beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. You may be seated. Amen. So we're going to get back to this, but what I want to start with, if you want to turn to another reading, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I have trouble saying that. We want to also there, chapter 5 in 1 Thessalonians. We're going to start at verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. So Paul was telling us here that he said, I don't need to tell you about the times and seasons. You have no need that I write unto you, for you know perfectly well that the day cometh as a thief in the night. And then what it means there's a couple ways that can mean it. First of all, thief in the night, it can come when people aren't expecting it, and all of a sudden the thief hits them and it destroys them and they're gone. Another way it comes, a thief can come, they come and go without you ever knowing they were there. So it depends on how you're looking at this. So he says, we know this because we are children of the light and not of the darkness. And so he said, be awake, be sober, be vigilant, watch, because he's going to come this way. But if he said, we are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So what he's saying is, be awake, Be aware of what's going on. Look around you. Don't be slothful. Don't just like just fill the message pew. Be someone that's aware of what's going on. So when that day comes, we're not sitting there thinking, well, I'm just fine. And the day is gone and passed, and we're still sitting there, I'm just fine. And the next thing you know, the tribulation sets in. You think, well, wait a minute. What happened to the rapture? And the voice is going to speak to you and say, the rapture already happened, and you weren't aware of it because you were sleeping. And we're talking about spiritual sleeping here, obviously, right? That's what Paul's talking about. He said, you are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Here in Shalom, Brother Branham says this. He says, gross darkness is upon the people. Now, what about the light? And he had just preached a lot about the gross darkness and how everything was. But now he says, what about the light? He said, gross darkness would be upon the people, but there would be light. Rise and shine, for the light has come. How can there be darkness and light? How can you have darkness and light? If you come in, you turn on it's dark, and you turn on the light, and now it's light. It's not dark in here anymore, right? So what he says, it's got to be separated. Because as soon as the light comes on, it pushes the darkness out. But the darkness goes somewhere. Go downstairs without light, it's still dark down there. Anywhere the light isn't, that's where the darkness is. It's the same thing spiritually. It's got to be separated, and the only one thing separates it is the word manifested separates. It presses it to the other side. So when the word is manifested, that's why you can have the word and you can have the Bible and you can have the message and you can believe it. But until that word manifests, it's not light yet. It's still just the word. And the word by itself killeth, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And that spirit igniting that word lives it out, and that becomes light. And then you know how to walk. And if you don't have that light, walking in the word for this day that's manifest, shining in this day of the Lord will come to you as a thief in the night, and you're not going to see it coming. You're going to think, I'm a good message believer. I've been going to church for years. I believe the Bible. I believe the message. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. But if you don't see the light for your day, lighting up the area around you, and so where you know where to walk, then you're going to be walking in darkness, and it's going to get you. So he said, don't be sleeping. So, well, how do you go to sleep when you're spiritually asleep? Well, let's go back here to this. We talked about this lady here in Song of Solomon. We talked about this a little bit the last time, but we're going to just pick up again. She said, I sleep. So obviously it's nighttime, right? But just because it's nighttime and she's sleeping, her beloved comes and speaks to her and said, wake up. Don't be sleeping. This is not the time to be sleeping. Just a good lukewarm message believer. It's so comfortable. And if there's one thing I can say about this church in Dixon, God has not allowed us to get too comfortable. And that's a good thing. It's hard. But we could be sitting in a nice message church where everything is just fine and everyone loves each other and everything's getting along just fine and everyone just rocking back and forth and it's nice and lukewarm and we have wonderful services and everyone just has a grand old time. We could. And just rock yourself right into sleep. And go to sleep. But we're not that church. And so he speaks to her. And she's sleeping. He wakes up. She says, I sleep, and my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me. Now listen to her. Listen how he says, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. Listen how he's talking to her. This is the way he talks to you. He talks to you, and we say, oh, I'm such a loser. I'm so bad. I can't seem to overcome this. I'm having trouble here. He says, my love, my undefiled, my sister, my dove. Look how he talks to us. This is what he's telling us. He's not kicking you in the head and say, hey, get out of bed, wake up. It's not like boot camp where they come in and just flip the lights on and start screaming at you. His voice calls, his voice speaks to you, and it wakes you up out of your sleep, and you're thinking, I need a closer walk with God. Here I've been going along for months, and yet I've kind of just come to a point where I'm just kind of in a fog a little bit. You ever been there? Boy, I have. And he starts dealing with you. He says, wake up, it's time to be moving on. You're just sitting there, you're sitting still. You need to get moving. I got something more for you to do. He says, my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops. And he's saying, look, I want someone to come. I've been out here by myself. I need someone to comfort me. Take me in here. I want a closer walk with you. My love. She says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I wash my feet. How shall I defile them?
What's she saying? I'm comfortable. I'm good. Why do you want more from me? I got the Holy Ghost. I'm a good message believer. I'm a this. I got all this. Why do you want more from me? Why can't you just let me relax? Why can't you just let me sit still for a minute? Because this isn't the time to be sleeping, folks. This ain't the time to be spiritually sleeping. This is the time to be up and doing. He said, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door. My bowels were moved for him. And it stirred that love for him. And you know, it's like something that like, oh yes, but there's got to be something more. It's when you see something you like, something you love, and you just want more of it, and it just stirs something. I don't want to be sitting here sleeping, relaxed when he wants more from me. She said, I rose up to open my to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers with sweet smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. And she said, you know what? I'm just going to start praying, and his presence is going to be here. We're just going to have a wonderful time just like we have. But here's the problem. She was lax. She was self-satisfied. She was lukewarm, Laodicean. He says, no, that's not what I get from my bride in this age. I need something more, so we're going to have to go through a chastening time. There's going to be a chastening now. I got to get you away from all this influence from this Laodicean age. The riches, the soft living. Brother Branham said the pressure of riches, soft living, and nervous tension. Those are some three of the things that we have to battle the most in this age. Yes, we do. It's easy to go to sleep with those things. Just put it out of my mind. Don't even want to think about it. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. My, what a lonely place to be. You think, well, he don't love me anymore. No, he does love you. That's why he does it. Because he wants more from you. He wants you to quit resting on your laurels, so to speak. He wants you to quit resting on what happened yesterday. He wants you to quit resting. And he said, I got more word for you to fulfill. And you're just sitting there being comfortable. You need to get out and keep pressing the battle. There's more battles to win. There's more character to win. There's more word for you to manifest. There's more light that needs to be seen through your life. You just want to sit back and relax. Of course we do. That's human nature. We all want to sit back and relax. No one wants to get out there and fight these battles. No one wants to get in the front line. No one wants to be the one to lead the charge. It's hard. I've heard people say this. You can't preach it too hard for me, man. I love it when you just strips me down. I'm sorry. You don't even know what you're talking about. Because a real spanking is not pleasant. And the word says the chasing is never pleasant in the moment. It strips you down and it's rough. Maybe you're just not sitting under the right preacher. And it goes on to talk about how the watchmen found him. They smote me. They wounded me. And she says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. I had Brother Biscoe preaching one time. Many years ago, he was in Murfreesboro, and the anointing was very strong. It was towards the end of the service, and he said, he's talking about how he loved the Lord. He said, will you do me a favor? He said, the next time you're in prayer and the Holy Spirit is there with you, will you tell him that I love him? Tell him Brother Eddie, but Brother Eddie loves him. And I think of that when I read this. It says, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him that I love him. Tell him that my heart is sick, my love for him, and I can't be fulfilled until he comes back and fulfills me. So, that kind of catches us up where we were last Thursday. I want to move on a little bit. Brother Branham says this in Future Home. He says, oh, make known by his prophets all his manifestation, because it's his attributes of his thoughts expressed. Now, here it was in this little woman. She was one of his attributes. He's talking about the woman at the well as opposed to the priest down there, right? It's his attributes of his thoughts expressed. And here it was in this little woman. She was one of his attributes, so she was one of his thoughts expressed. And the reason he knew it is because when that light shined on her, she recognized the light and she accepted it. That means that she was one of his thoughts. He said, there is a priest representing the light. He had learned it from the Bible. Now listen, he's there representing the light. He's the minister. Today we call him part of the fivefold ministry. He's there representing the light. He's getting in the pulpit saying, I'm here to represent Christ to you. I'm here to bring you to Christ. I'm here to be the approach that you can come to Christ. That's what the priest was representing, the light. He had learned it from the Bible. He had learned that God was God. He had learned that holiness was right. He had learned that there was a law of God. And he learned it because of intellectual conception. So he had all the message right. He had all the scripture right. He had learned it. He had studied. He knew everything the way it was supposed to be. Dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's. He knew the word. But it was all intellectual conception. And he was born of the right lineage. He had a gift. Today you say he had a gift of ministry. He was a Levite. But listen, he only knew it by intellectual conception. And when the light of the hour, see, he learned it by what had happened, not was happening, what had happened. That is the problem, folks. When we learn the message by what had happened back there instead of what is happening, then we don't see the light, and it's just a historical God. It's just something that did happen. And that, I believe, is why so many young people around the message over the years, they just got bored with it and looked around, because all you do is tell me what happened with Brother Branham. That's just like taking the Bible and all you do is tell me what happened 2,000 years ago. That's historical. This priest only knew by what had happened. He could not recognize what was happening, and because he didn't have representation and the light shined on him for the day, he didn't see it. Because all he could do is look back. His whole frame of reference was what had happened. And when all we can do is look back to 1960s and see what has happened, and that's where we last time we saw God, then we're not walking in the light of the day. That's what this woman was doing. He came to her in the night. He said, wake up. It's time to get up. I want a closer walk with you. And she said, well, I know what has happened. I believe what the prophet said. I believe what happened through the prophet. I know all those things. He said, yeah, but I got something for you to do today. And you know what I had to get there? I had to strip her down so he could start using her to start manifesting light for her day. That's what he wants from us, brother and sister. Not just look what happened 20 years ago or 30 or 50 or whatever. We have to see right now. He learned it by what had happened, not what was happening, what had happened. That's why if you say, oh, I can get it just by listening to the tapes, all you're doing is hearing what had happened. The ministry takes the word that was the word for this day and they preach it so it happens now. That's why you have a live ministry. That's why you have a fivefold ministry. So they're preaching the word that must be fulfilled today. And then when it's a preach and you go out and live it, you can recognize that, oh, I see the light. That's why you're not going to get it from a tape. You got to have something that's currently a living Christ among us. Otherwise, you get lukewarm, you get sleepy, and you fall asleep on that pew. No wonder kids don't want this. No wonder people look at it and say, well, there's nothing to this. Because a lot of times there isn't. Old people get bored too. Old people go to sleep too. It ain't just the kids. You can go to a lot of message churches and sit around and watch this happen. He said when he found out what was happening, his denomination said nothing about it. Therefore, he had no representation of it. What's he saying? Well, that's not the way I believe it. That's not the way I was taught. That's not the way I believe it should be. Brother so-and-so didn't say it that way because their denomination didn't have it that way. When he saw it, he didn't have any representation. He didn't recognize it for what it was. There was a redeemer on earth at that time to redeem those attributes of God, and she received it. He only came to redeem his attributes. What does redeem mean? It doesn't mean you go out and buy something new. It means you buy what you already had. You just buy back. Redeem is buy back what you already had. And she was one of his before, and so he could buy her back. That priest wasn't. And because of that, he was religious, and he was gifted, and he was representing the light, but he did not have that attribute inside, so he could not be bought back. He never was one of God's. But Satan takes these people and puts them up there as a scarecrow, puts them up there as a deception. I bet he could preach the lights out. Doesn't mean a thing. Excuse me. He says, you say, well, look at this priest. Wasn't he a son of God? It proved he wasn't. But he was a good guy. He lived a holy life. He was nice to people. He loved everybody. He had a wonderful life going on. He had all the respect of everyone. People say, brother so-and-so, it's sure good to have you here. Love to hear brother so-and-so preach. He's just such a one of such an anointed minister. But what? He couldn't recognize what? He said, I believe the Bible. Sure. He couldn't recognize the express word of the hour. I believe the message. I believe this, brother. I believe this. But brother and sister, can you recognize the expressed word? Not the historical. Not the future. What is happening now? That's why Brother Branham said over and over and over. He said people are always praising God for what he did, looking forward to what he's doing, ignoring what he's doing now because they don't recognize it. Why? Because their denomination doesn't speak it out to them. Because the minister's job is to point to that light and say, this is the light. But if the minister don't know the light, then they can't do that either. He had only had an intellectual learning from some group that been back before him. And it's the same thing today. Some group that been back before him. He said, I know that strong, but it's the truth. There was the word as spoken exactly for that day. Yet he was a scholar. He was a renowned person. But he could not recognize it. Why? No matter how scholarly he was, anything like that, he still didn't have representation of predestination. Oh, why did her beloved knock on her door? Because she had representation. She was predestinated to be his bride. He had chose her to be his bride. My. And when she heard his voice, it stirred something inside her. When she saw that hand that had that nail scar, it stirred something inside her. And when she heard his, she called him. When she heard his voice, her heart failed because he was gone. Why? There's something more than this religion. There's something, there is a connection that she had to go back where she came from. Because here's the reality. He had been her beloved for eternity. He did not become her beloved. She did not say, the one my soul loveth. And one day he picked it up. It had always been that way. Oh, hallelujah. He had always loved her. She had always loved him. It wasn't something that just happened one day. Oh, I fell in love today. No, she fell in love way back in eternity. That's why Brother Branham said, if you come to this earth and you meet someone else and there's some connection, I don't remember the quote, but you were always together. That's just your partner from eternity, your mate from eternity. You always with that person. That person is one with you. My. That's exciting. They're always in love. They're meant for each other. Why didn't he go to someone else's door and knock? Because this one was predestinated. He knew how she'd respond. You know what another person did? Knocked on her door, and she said, I'm already in bed. I'm asleep. I'm comfortable. And he puts his hand in by the, yes, praise God for the crucifixion. And she said, but I'm good. Thank you. And she stayed in bed. Why? Because it's just religion. But for that one who stirred her heart, because it was from the soul, not just from up here in the mind. It was from the soul, and there's something stirred in there, and she couldn't have stayed in bed if she had to. She's going to get up. She's going to wake up because there's something way deeper than just some mental religion, something that's going on. Well, I believe it this way, and I do this way, and all that. That doesn't get it at all. This one was predestinated. There was a seed in there, and when that stirred, there's something there, and it pulled her out of bed. It would have pulled her through fire and flood and everything else because she's going to get to him. And that's the reason when the watchmen smote her and they bruised her and they took away her veil, she stood there and took it. She stood there and took it. Why? Because she had no choice in the matter because something inside her was stronger than her desire to rebel against it. Oh, she had a choice. Yeah, she did. And you know what she did? She chose by her heart instead of her head. That thing is stronger. If all we have is some mental, well, I decided to serve God and it's just up here, and one day you will decide not to serve him. This ain't about how strong we are mentally. This isn't about me making a choice up here. This choice comes from here, where you are just like, if I don't choose this way, I'm going to be so miserable. I got to give in. If all we're doing is saying, this is just a choice I make up in my mind, you gotta decide up here. But brother and sister, it comes from here, or otherwise it just goes away after a while. This ain't no mental game we're playing. The only mental game we play here is you have the right attitude towards God. And if you have the right attitude towards God, then everything else is taken care of. Amen. People don't want to get from down here, because going down here, you got to die to yourself. That's the problem. It's just more comfortable. He said, I know that's strong, but it's the truth. There was a word as spoken exactly for that day. And yet he was a scholar and a renowned person, but he could not recognize it. No matter how scholarly, anything like that, he still didn't have representation of predestination. Only the predestinated will be, only be the one that does it. Only can be. And you only can do it because look at proof's predestination. Because if you got eternal life, you had to be a part of God all times, because he's the only one that's eternal. The only way you can have it is you're predestinated, folks. He said, you can't die. You got eternal life. Only thing, the Redeemer has made you recognize it, and you were always that. Oh, my. If we could just get that a little bit more, a stronger revelation, we were always that. We're just recognizing who we are. And Satan throws up all kinds of counterfeits and say, you're a hypocrite. You're a sinner. You're not really. He takes all these things and tries to reflect back. He takes the word as a mirror and takes one part of it and reflects back at you and say, now don't look at the whole thing. Just look at this one little part. See, you still got a problem. You made mistakes today, didn't you, Sister Susie? Well, see that little part there? That says that if you made a mistake, then you're a sinner. Look at the whole thing. Open it up and look at it and see what it says about you. Stop going by Satan's little bit of lie here and a little bit of truth there and a little bit of something over here and mixing it all together to get us to not recognize who we are, who we always were. Always were. Methodist said, when you shout, you got it. A lot of them shouted and didn't have it. Pentecost said, when you speak in tongues, many speak in tongues and don't have it. Look how all kinds of forms those Pharisees had. But when the word was manifest, they didn't recognize it. I know I said this 1,000 times, but let me say it again. That's why, brother and sister, people can sit there and go to church and just listen to tapes. Because when the word is manifest, they don't recognize it. And they're following their prophet through the wilderness. They think they are. They think they're in a promised land. Can't be. Because when the light shines, they don't say it. They say, no. Well, let me keep going. My. Here we go. He said, the bride is part of the husband. And the only place that you'll ever recognize it is recognize what part of that husband, that word you are, or you can't recognize being the bride. If you can't recognize what part of the husband are, you can't recognize you're the bride. What part of the word are you fulfilling? What part of the light is shining through you? And it's you as an individual. It's not this group as a people. It's you as an individual shining the light. And Christ is shining through you. And you see it because he comes and he tells you. He says, this is the word I've called for you to fulfill. And this is where I have one of my biggest battles, folks. I've told you this before, but it's the simplicity. I look at that and say, it can't be that simple. But then I read, he said, he hides in simplicity. And he reveals in simplicity. And it is that simple. And the simpler it gets, the closer to God you're getting. Man, I'm glad. Amen. How many sees that? You have to recognize your position. You can't recognize somebody else's. You got to see yourself, who you are. Let's just hammer this down a little bit more. He said, He says, there's your holy, this is future home, there's your holy convocation. He's talking about the eighth day. He said, not have anything to do with the literal things. It's beyond that. It's into the kingdom of God with eternal life, with the predestiny that never did start. It never started on any day. You wasn't saved on any day. You was always saved. Jesus just come to redeem that, but you was saved from the beginning because you had eternal life to begin with. A trout fish can never be a gar or a tadpole. He might be in the same water, but he was from the beginning a trout. The net only caught him, but he was that from the beginning. Now we're not, he said, oh, you only keep going here. He said, you don't come by laws and rituals and orders. You come by predestination. You don't live good enough to get born again. You don't live good enough to go in the rapture. You don't follow enough rules to please God. You come by, you please him by predestination. His love is elective. His love is elective. And how do you know he loves you? Because he said he did and he chose you. You don't earn God's love. You don't earn God's love. Stop trying to earn God's love. He loves you just because of who you are, because you're his kids. It's the same way as the parents. I didn't earn my mom and dad's love. Well, I did have to earn my dad's love, to tell you the truth. I didn't have to earn my mom's love. She just loved me. My dad loved me anyways, but he wouldn't express it until I had pleased him. He loved me just the same, but he didn't know how to express it. My. He didn't know how to express it because he thought it was something that he had to earn from God too. And so he treated his kids that way. And we had to live good enough for him to love us. And yet the whole time, I knew he loved me anyways. Because there was something there. I don't know where I'm going with this, but it just come up. You don't earn God's love, brother and sister. He loves you no matter what you do. Now, you can displease him, but that doesn't do anything to how much he loves you. And if you displease him, then he's going to chasten you because that's what a papa does. My. Let that fear be taken away that you not that God doesn't love you. Let that just completely be destroyed from your mind. That's what I might do something that God doesn't love me anymore. Once he loves you and he's elected you, he can't help but love you because you're part of him. What if my hand goes and does something I don't like? Am I going to cut it off and say you're not my hand anymore? No more can he cut you off and say you're not part of his body anymore. You don't come by laws and rituals and orders. You come by predestination. There's a genuine convocation. We're ending the seventh church age, the Pentecost age. Do you see it? We're entering the holy convocation, entering the real genuine eternity where the church is called not to some station, some denomination, but into eternity with the eternal king. He's talking about, he's bringing something completely in here. I don't want to get into it, but he's talking about how we're still in time all the way through the millennium. But our soul, when we're caught up into this eternity, we're already in eternity, even though we still have to fill out the rest of time. I know that's way off what I'm talking about. I'm trying to explain what this other stuff is. He said, if you got eternal life, there's only one form, and that's God. And you are an expressed attribute. If you're not, you're not going to be there anyhow. No man can come to me except my Father draw him. See, which passes away with all these old things, but things don't, so it speaks of eternity. Man. Which passes away all these old things, but these things don't, so it speaks of eternity. All these fallen rules and all these denominations, all these church going and all these things that we do here because we're still in time, but that's all going to pass away because we go into eternity where we always were. Let me ask you this. You think all those people over there who passed on, where Brother Tim is and Brother James, Brother Jerry's dad, and my mom, and different ones are up there, you think they're sitting there looking at each other wondering how good they lived? You think they're looking at each other and say, I think, brother, I sure hope everyone's living good enough up here. No. They're not worried about that. That is so far behind. That is not what they're focused on. They're focused on one thing, and that's Christ. They're sitting in this perfect place of love, and they're just waiting to come and be united with us so we can go on and keep fulfilling our purpose in life. They're not worried about what you did and what, well, I know back in the on earth, Brother Jim, well, you know, he stole money from Kroger one time. I saw him do it. You think that's kind of, you didn't steal money. I'm disappointed. You think that kind of stuff is going, they're not worried about that kind of stuff. Then why are we? Get the Holy Ghost and let that Holy Ghost come and make the difference in your life. Now, let me put it this way, and Brother Jerry said it couple of weeks ago when I was here. He said, it's got to be preached. Brother Branham said, it's got to be preached. You got to hold that line. Because why? Because on judgment day, there's going to be something to judge you by. I remember the quote. I read it and it just kind of stopped me cold. Brother Branham said, don't worry about death. Death ain't nothing. He said, the judgment is where you're going to be worried. That's what's going to hurt. The Holy Ghost is eternal. Then you are in eternity where you were all the time. But you've just recognized what happened. I look back at my life and the struggles I had trying to be a Christian. And I was in eternity the whole time. Part of me was eternal the whole time. But you got to come to a place where God can reveal it and you recognize it. And you can take that in your mind. And probably every message believer says, oh, amen, I believe that. But how many of you have it up here and how many have it down here? Because as long as it's up here, it's not going to get you anywhere you want to be. It's got to be revealed. He only reveals it to his elect. See, you're there. You were made for an eternal purpose. Boy, we could stop there. You were made for an eternal purpose. What are we here for? What are we doing in this life? What is my purpose in this life? Is it just to go to work? Is it just to make money? Is it just to go play? Is it just to go hiking? Is it just to run? Is it just to go to church? What is my eternal purpose? We all have an eternal purpose. And right now, brother and sister, our eternal purpose is to shine the light, whatever God has for you to do, whatever word he wants you to fulfill. Because you are the manifestation of an attribute that was in God that thought of you and expressed you, he made earth to take you out of and to make you a human being. And sin come along and perverted his way. You come anyhow, but you was lost with the world. So he came and redeemed you, the express attribute, and also redeemed this earth by the same way. Then his purpose rolls on. Let me finish up here. He says, so old man and old woman, don't you be discouraged. If you are a representation up here in this attribute of God, if you're represented here, you're in the eternal. And if you cross from that seventh day into the eighth, you've gotten to the eternal by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're included in this. Now, if you're just trusting upon a sensation or jumping up and down, or I do this, I keep it seventh day, I don't eat meat and things like that, that's going to perish in the election. But this is the eternal. This is the eternal. So if we're still looking at, well, I know I'm good because I do this and I do that, we have not recognized who we are. We have not stepped over into recognizing the eternal nature of our being. We have not recognized our part in the body because we're still back here worried about this denominational idea, what it means to be a message believer. I've heard people say, well, I just can't live it. I just can't live it. I can't be a message believer. I can't live it. I think someone said one time, I remember, I might be wrong, speaking about my sister Becky, this sister said, I just can't live like Sister Becky or something like that. You know where that comes from? It comes from right here. Preachers preaching that lying to them. Preacher teaching them that's what it means to be a message believer. And I sat under that a long time until this brother came and got me straightened out. If you're trusting in some sensation or jumping up and down, I do this, I keep it Sabbath. Well, I know 25 years ago at the altar, I know the Holy Spirit came. I totally believe you. I had those experiences too. Walk away knowing I wasn't born again. There is real experience. There is a real experience of being born again, but you can have a lot of false ones too. What are you trusting in? He's praying. He said, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins. Grant it, Lord. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. May we not just be satisfied, Lord, with joining church and trying to be a Christian, being some self-effort, some way to try to manufacture something. It's not going to get you, brother and sister. It's not going to get us where we want to be. Let me finish right here. He said, not turn a new page. It's turn to the Word. See what the Word promises for today. See what the light of the day is supposed to be. Have you done that? Turn a new page? Boy. Go down to the altar, you pray, you feel justified, you know you're just that your sins are forgiven, and boy, I tell you what, from here on out, Brother Paul, from here on out, yes, sir. 3 months later, you're back at the altar doing the same thing. And 2 weeks later, you're back at the altar doing the same thing. That ain't it, folks. That ain't it. Turn a new page. Find out what the promise is for today. See what the light of the day is supposed to be. Well, what we ought to do this year is not go back to a creed and things, go back to our old denomination, not go back to old denomination. Turn to the Word. See what kind of a light is supposed to be shining today in 2019. Church, turn back to the Word. Get back to the Word. Flip the right switch. Quit punching around the electric lights, artificial, man-made. Well, Brother Branham said this, I believe this way. And Brother Branham said this, I believe it this way. Get it past that. Get to the place where you are seeing your beloved. You're seeing the one that your heart loves. You're seeing the one that makes a whole difference in your life. And you're seeing the one that is drawing you. And He's not letting you stay satisfied. He's not letting you stay asleep. He keeps drawing you. And He's pulling you. And you don't like it a lot of times because He wants more from you than you want to give. But you do it anyways because something inside is telling you, if you hold back, it's just going to get worse. Because you've been through enough to know better than to hold back. And you know you've been through enough to know that if you resist a little bit, you're just going to get yourself a little bit harder knock on the head next time. So just keep going. Pull yourself through it. Walk through the hard times because you know when you get past it, what is there is something that's better than you have now. Keep pressing on, friends. Quit doing this man-made kind of artificial kind of just be a good Christian kind of stuff. Turn to His Word, see the promise of today. Then see what the promise is and watch for its identification. When it's vindicated, then you know whether you're in light or not. You don't have to wonder if this church is going the right direction. You don't have to wonder whether or not the truth is being preached here. You don't have to wonder. You can see the vindication if it is or not. If what the Word is being preached over this pulpit by Brother Jerry and I, if it's not being vindicated, then we're wrong. You need to find another place to go to church. If the light isn't shining, if the Word is not being manifest, then this place is wrong. We need to shut it down and get born again. That's why I stand here with complete confidence saying, I ain't worried about it. I ain't afraid. I see the Word that's being preached happening. And if it ain't happening in any of your life, it's happening right now, right here, which is most important to me because I got to make sure this boy's right. And I see it happening. I could pick any one of you and point to something and say, I saw the Word happen in you. I can. That's exciting. Because last night when I was trying to pray and I wasn't getting anywhere and Satan was pointing all my faults and doing all these things and saying this about me, and well, you know, you might be deceived. You might be deceived. Did Satan ever tell you that? You look at all the thousands of messy believers and you see how many people just don't seem, I'm not saying judging them, but you just don't see the light shining. You say, well, maybe you're the one who's wrong. You ever get that, Brother Paul? No, you're way past that. I'm still just a baby. See what the promise is. Changing the pages, changing calendars doesn't change time. He said, to me, I want to see what's promised for the day. I want to know what the light of the hour is so I can know how to walk in it. I want to know where I'm living, what age I'm in, how far up the road am I. As Paul said, forgetting those things that are in the past, I press towards the mark. The high calling, to the complete identification when all time will fade out into eternity when Jesus comes. Brother and sister, we have so much to look forward to. We have so much happening around us. The darkness is so dark. At work, I've seen some things that I hate saying this because it's so nasty, but just the way the world is doing now, the darkness they're getting to is, it's got to come, friends. There's this new class that I have to, it's an old class, but they changed the way they're teaching it, and I have to start teaching it, and they showed us, I have watched this person teach it, Tuesday, and I was sitting there thinking, God, how am I supposed to teach that? How can I teach that and present it the way they want me to? About sexuality and things like that. And I don't know. It's so far gone. Any sense of right and wrong is just so warped anymore. It's so warped. I saw this picture. I'm going to go and tell you. I saw this picture. It was on Facebook. Someone showed it. They put it on Facebook. And it's this 9-year-old boy. He's dressed like a girl, dressed like a prostitute, and he's out on the street. And there's this whole crowd around him watching him. He's dancing provocatively, and these gay men are giving him money to dance for him. 9-year-old boy. They're promoting this as, it's love. What's wrong with that? The people who we have in our Congress, they're the dumbest people in the world. They are idiots. It's just done. I mean, you see this stuff in the news. I don't have to keep going. But we're just done, folks. This country is gone, and I hate it because this is my country, and America has done so much wonderful things, but we're done. It's over. Let's get out of here. Let's go home. Amen. Let's stand.